I guess if you haven't heard, you will hear that Judy is a great grandma again.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. What, 7 pounds, 10 ounces?
7 pounds, 12 ounces, 12 inches long.
Good grief. And you crowd is out there to take care of them?
Chrissy and Chris is out there to help her, right. And his mom and dad were there. They're leaving today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we need to keep him in our prayers, particularly these first few weeks. As someone just mentioned, Jean Dixon is up and about. She's fallen quite a bit, but we need to keep her in our prayers. I got down here Walter's nephew, David West, has cancer, a mass on his lung. We need to keep him in our prayers. Angela Rogers came before us last week and wanted us to keep her sister, Mary, and Mary's husband in our prayers, and her. She had lost her job, by the way. She mentioned, I don't know if anybody out there knows of any opportunities that she might want to pursue. Talked to Betty on the phone. Ray is still recovering. I thought maybe they might show up here a little bit later on. But she thinks he should be back. He should be here more rehab. But the Campbell's still at rehab out there in Dinwiddie County. Brian Bear has ongoing issues with cancer. I saw on Facebook where he and his son had gone to some sort of a meeting. I guess about fire department or something.
Yeah.
But it looked like they had a good time. All our homebound members, we need to keep in our prayers. And if you get a chance to call Ursula, if you get a chance to call Joanne, we're missing both of them.
I think we need to keep Dolores in our prayers too. Dolores Hoosier.
Yeah. A while back, Peggy and I did go down to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having trouble being mobile, getting around. But her health seemed to be okay other than that.
It's just getting around. She's just worse off than I am.
Is Charlotte here, so all rise, please.
Where's the coffee?
Don't call me.
I gave. Charlotte, did you hear that the Judy's the great grandma?
A little girl.
Thank you.
She's fine. Proverbs. Wisdom. We're going to start on chapter 3 today. I trust that you all have got up some sort of a program where you're reading Proverbs ahead of time. I would encourage you not only to read ahead of time, but as you read, you'll find out that the next chapter will refer back to the prior chapter. It's good to go back and check that out, and it kind of helps it sink into your memory bank. The whole purpose is to get the mindset of trying to achieve as close as we can the mindset of God, so that we understand when He speaks to us where He's coming from, and when we face today's problem, or the problems of the day, or we face the choices of the day, I should say, then we can handle those choices according to the way He thinks instead of the way we think. But fortunately, there's enough repetition in here in Proverbs and I think God recognizes we need repetition to remember that He'll repeat Himself quite a few times, and I trust that Well, I know we'll all be somewhat wiser when we get out of this class, but I hope that we'll truly gain what God wants us to gain out of it. We're in chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 has got a lot of words in here, and I want you to look for them, because I think this is what the author was trying to get out to us, or get across to us as we read this. And remember, this, in my estimation, and I think as others would agree with me that know a little bit about Proverbs, God is trying to have a conversation with you. He's not just sitting there here spewing stuff out and thinking you're going to memorize everything. He's trying to have a conversation with you. It would just be like you and I sitting down, or one of your friends sitting down with you to have a conversation with you. And you're talking where the understanding goes back and forth. It's just not one way. Although in this case, God is, through the Holy Spirit, has given us His Word. But as you ponder over what He's telling you, then you'll start, the puzzle will come together. The puzzle will come together. Look for the words in this chapter of kindness, truth, long life, peace, trust in God, honoring God with our substance, prosperity, security, happiness, and blessings. You'll see them all through here as we go through this. And we'll try to put them in the way that that we now will begin into a conversation. Notice he starts off with my son. 13 times in the first 7 chapters, he'll start his mindset or his thoughts off with my son. It could very well be my daughter, you know, my sister. It's just a matter of that day. That's the son was considered the proper way to address the family. It says, my son. He says, my son, do not forget my law. Now, what law would he be talking about in this thing? Law of Moses. You're going to find out in a few verses on down here where some of the things that's in the law of Moses you'll recognize. So that it'll put that together for you. He says, my son, do not forget my law. He says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Not your ears. Don't come in this ear and out the other ear. But let it sink into your heart to keep what he's trying to tell us. Look at this promise he comes right up with. Another one of God's promises, and he doesn't lie. So God's going to keep this promise. For length of days. We always say, oh, we're going to live to be such and such. Length of days. And long life. And peace. In other words, you'll be at peace with the world. You won't be in a turmoil. You won't be have all this strife in your life. You won't be fighting all the time. And peace it will add to you. When he says prosperity to you, there can be prosperity in not only in spiritual ways, to which we all know what our end result wants to be, but prosperity in your material wealth in life. If you listen to what he has to say, he doesn't promise you you're going to be rich, but he promises you you're going to be better off following his word this way than you would ever be in the other way. And peace will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Mercy and truth, mercy shuts out all selfishness and hate. If you've got mercy within you, then that's God saying that's your protection of my mindset, that's automatically going to stop your selfishness. You're not going to want what that person wants over there if you have mercy. And you certainly can't hate them if you have mercy on them, if you have love for them. And then truth shuts out all falsehoods. I mean, you're not going to be lying to them. You're not going to have hypocrisy. You're not going to say one thing and then do another thing. You're not going to try to deceive anybody. If you've got these two in there, it automatically, as I said, mercy gives you selfishness. It eradicates that in hate, and then truth will shut out all falsehood and hypocrisy. Then he goes on to say, bind them around your neck. Remember we talked about it? Just look back on chapter 1, verse 9. Pages to go back and forth in these. These clauses will be a graceful ornament around your head and chains around your neck. And those chains don't mean chains of bondage. They will be chains of gold, you know, where you can stand out and people will pay respect to you and you'll have honor in their presence. Bind them around your neck. That was very similar, by the way, to what the Pharisees would always do with those phylacteries. They would try to, not that they had that quality, but they would try to prove to everybody they had that quality by walking around with these beads and stuff on their head, you know, like they were the one to be envied. They did it to themselves rather than having somebody anoint that on them. And we remember we talked about in the last chapter in Daniel, when Daniel was appointed over the kingdom to be responsible for great duties because of his devotion to the king and his not forsaking God Almighty, that he was given that honor. When everybody saw Daniel, he had that shield or that thing around his neck and said, this is a great man. In fact, he was just number two to the king himself, Daniel, once he survived that ordeal that he went through. He says, write them on the tablet and on your heart, and so find favor and esteem, high esteem, not only in the sight of God, but in men. So you want to go through this life with people looking at you and in their mindsets as a great, as a good person, as a godly person, as a great person. Write these attributes into your heart and make them part of your life and let them people see you, see them inside of you. Luke 2:52. I've got this down here as a reference. Let me go over to Luke 2:52.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Okay, so Jesus even grew in stature, in wisdom because of his wisdom. Verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Pray to God with all your heart. Have faith in God with all your heart. When your faith seems weak, go to God in prayer. Let that be part of your prayer. That, Lord, please help me increase my faith. Let me understand to the point that my faith is increased in you. Notice it didn't say in part of your heart, or let me understand as much as I can. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give him all your heart. And as we started off this class in Proverbs, the whole basis of us getting on the same mindset of God is that we got to always think and be reminded that he is almighty. I mean, he's all powerful. He's all loving. Not just sometimes, not just when we're feeling good, but in times that we're feeling bad, it's the same God. And He's an awesome God. So trust in Him and lean not on your own understanding. This verse here, the second part of that verse right there, I want you to jot down, because before we get through Proverbs, you'll probably see that about 10 to 12 times about not leaning on your own understanding. Never, we're always warned, never get to the part that says, I got this. You know, I got this. I got it made. I know it. I don't need, you don't have to talk to me. I got it. Never get to that point.
God said, you know, my thoughts are higher than yours. And so this goes right along with this. And what I was going to say, in all of Proverbs, it's like a father talking to his child. And it identifies the relationship we have with God. He's not talking to the heathens. He's talking to his children and wanting them to do well. And therefore, he gives them these, I call them advice on how to live a godly life and to represent him. Mm-hmm. It always reminds me with the relationship with my dad. I was always told, when you go out in the world, you behave yourself in such a manner that you don't bring shame to the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is the
same thing.
I heard
that, by the way, from my own dad. Yeah.
This is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're mine, and I want you to behave, therefore, in such a way, and here's what you need to learn.
Mm-hmm. It's getting his mindset.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll understand. This is simple. Remember, what is understanding? What's the key to understanding of the Proverbs? It's common sense.
Yes.
It's common sense. That you don't need that big high IQ. There's no way in Proverbs is the high IQ mentioned. It's common sense. So, but if you have, in order for us to have the common sense that he's talking about here, then we have to understand his mindset. Well,
yeah.
God, what is common sense? You know, how do you perceive that I should understand this? And once you get that, they all come together. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Uh-huh.
Not just some of the ways, not just when we're feeling good about him, not when we're just here on Sunday morning, but in all the ways, acknowledge him as God Almighty. I wrote in here, under this thing right here, this is worth praying for.
Yep.
This is well worth putting into our mindset. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And then he comes back and says, I'll direct your path if you do that. I'll guide you. I'll lead you the way you should go. Look right down here in 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. If you go back right up into the second part of number 5 and lean not on your own understanding, mm-hmm. He's starting to repeat himself again.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so wise in your own eyes you don't think you need me. You know, don't ever get that mindset. Be wise, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What kind of a fear are we talking about? An awesome respect for God.
Yeah.
An awesome respect for him. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it will be health. Another promise. Health. There'll be health to your bones. Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Some of y'all's conditions might say navel. And that's probably a more accurate interpretation from what I've read in several things, because, you know, to the navel was the umbilical cord, which connected, and that was the source of life of that baby in the womb. But over the renditions that have been put out, some of them have strength to health to your flesh and strength to your bones instead of to your navel. So if you see that word in there, it's a matter of interpretation. In verse 9, honor the Lord with all your possessions. What possessions?
All our possessions.
All your possessions. Time?
Yes.
I often heard people say, I ain't got time. Yes, you do. We all got 24 hours in the day. Yeah, I have it. You have it. You have it. We all got 7 days in the week. Yes, we do. We all have it. It's a matter of where we put it. You got time. I ain't got time. Yes, you do. If I can find time, or she can find time, or he can find time, you can find time. You just got to get your priorities straight. That's all. Honor the Lord with all your possessions and with first fruits and all your increase. Of course, it also includes not only your time and your efforts and your energies, but your monetary gains also. Not what's left after we go ahead and spend on what we want. A lot of times on what we need. Sometimes we're going to have to give up things we need in order to give our fruit. Make God, make sure that God gets the first fruits of our increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Here's another promise. And your vats will overflow with new wine. These are another promises of God. God will always give you back more than you can give Him. We don't have the resources that God has. And He'll shower you with blessings. Again, I don't want you to get the impression that He's going to make you rich, or He's going to fill your garage with two or three cars, or He's going to fill your house with fine furniture. But in one way or the other, you'll get back more than you give Him. Look at verse 11 again. My son, start off again. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Chastenings can include and does include warnings. You know, God through His Word lists warnings to us to beware. Beware of this. Watch out for this. Don't get too close to that. Don't go down that path. And then He can also give us corrections. Corrections is where we go through hard times. We suffer. Sometimes we don't listen to the chastenings. We don't listen to the warnings, and we go right ahead and get ourselves in trouble. Then comes the time for correction. He says, He says, don't despise those. Don't despise those. Don't detest when you... That's one thing about Job. But although Job didn't do anything wrong, he never turned his back on God, even though God was putting him through some trials and tribulations. He complained. You know, everybody talked about the patience of Job. If you think about it, Job complained a lot. But he never turned his back on God. He never thought God would do something that was harmful to him in the end. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. So if you're living a happy life and you have no trials and tribulations, everything's hunky-dory, you better ask yourself, you know, what am I doing wrong? Because God, if He loves you, He's going to keep you in line. He's going to warn you. He's going to let you know that you've gone out of His boundaries. That you are heading toward going out of His boundaries. He's going to let you know that. He's never going to give you a temptation that you don't have the power to resist. What was that old saying, the devil made me do it? That wouldn't make him do it. The devil enticed him and had more influence on him than God had influence on him. Yeah, Judy.
When you are tempted and you immediately reach out to God, that temptation will leave you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we fail to reach out to God a lot of times when we get in these predicaments. We try to figure out any which way how to get out of it, but not doing it the correct way.
I don't know whether this would work with other people or not, but I found it very handy or helpful to me if that temptation is there, says, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Oh, yeah.
And that reminds me of what Jesus told Peter, "You get behind me."
Or saying, "I don't belong to you, Satan.
Get away from me. Get away from me." That's the time to go to God. It's no
exactly.
Yeah, Wes.
I think it's a good thing to keep in mind, too, that, you know, nobody can tempt you, or you can't be tempted with something that you don't want. And most of the times, that's what the devil causes us to tempt us with. Because inwardly, it's something that if we don't so much desire it, that we, you know, want to give up everything to get it. It's still a desire there that you would not have, that you would like to have. So therefore, it comes to temptation.
Yeah.
The devil said, "Well, you can get it. All you got to do is do this."
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if it's something that you don't want, a certain type of food you don't like, can't nobody tempt you to eat it. You know. Some. Even if it's even if it's some dirty money. You know, as much as people love money, if it's money that, you know, if you don't want it, it could be half a dollar. If somebody tempt you with a half a dollar, there's a half a dollar, I don't want that. You know? But it's got to be something that you halfway desire or you would like to have for to be tempted. So, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind, is we got to put aside that want and not be
tempted. Yes, that's not the same thing as finding the wallet down with $2,000 or $3,000 in it, half a dollar in it. But I'll be honest with you, if I see a penny on the ground, I don't care where I am. If I'm in a grocery store, if I'm on the street, I'll pick that penny up. Yeah. There's just something about that I just don't want to see wasted.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. What are we getting this at, Jenny?
Well, I was just going to say, a lot of our temptations start with what we see. What our eyes look at, you know, and so we're tempted. And it's like Wesley said, it's usually with something that we want. Look at Adam and Eve. Satan pointed out how good this apple looked, okay? So, and so she looked at it and she said, "Yeah, that looks pretty good. I want some of that," you know. And that's what I'm saying. It's things that attract us that causes for us to sin.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not careful about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He wants us not to forget it, not to let it pass over and say, "Ed, it wasn't so bad. I'll do that again." No, he'll correct you on it. Just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. If you're a good father, then you will correct your son, and you'll expect discipline out of him. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Another blessing. You're going to be happy, and if you gain wisdom and understanding, for her proceeds, the results of getting that, the end results, are better than the profits of silver and the gains from fine gold. If these two, silver and gold, were to be cashed in for money, then the wisdom is always better than even no matter what amount of money that you would be getting in place of it. And that's what we've got to, and this is, even from the very first chapter when we start off, we've got to know and understand and want wisdom as much as we value silver and gold and diamonds and rubies. I mean, they're that precious. Wisdom is that precious to us. It's in the same plane that when we see those things, like you said, Judy, when the eye sees these big diamonds and sees these bars of gold glittering out there, you know, we're not going to think, "Boy, how much money is that?" Well, we should look at wisdom just like that. Wow, really, what? That really looks appealing to me. I want to try to get that wisdom. Another promise, length of days. He's repeating himself, and it was repeated up in just before. Is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths of peace. You want to live a pleasant life. You want to live a peaceful life, and we all want to live a peaceful life. Who wants to fight and be stressful all their lives? And where can you sleep? You know, if you don't have peace, then you don't have pleasantness. 18 says she's a tree of life, giving you the impression that a nice, big, huge tree with deep, big roots. It gives you a solid base to work off of. Who take hold of her, and happy of all who retain her. You want to be happy? All who retain her. Just get back to verse 13, the same chapter. I want you to get used to this, because this is how you're going to really get God's mindset. What does it say then? Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And he goes right back to the second part of 18. All are happy who retain her. So he's repeating himself and putting it out there with... I promise you, but God promised you, you're going to be wiser when you get through here. Some of it, whether you really strive for it or not, but if you really strive for it, you're really going to get some wisdom out of here. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. This is to get you prepared for, because back up, get ahead of us over there, but when we get to chapter 8, he's going to give you a detailed thing of how wisdom was used in the formation of the world and everything in this world. This is a preparation for you here. Right now, he's just putting it out there. He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, he established the heavens. His knowledge of the depths of the seas were broken up, and the clouds came down with the dew, which is the rain. Tell us how he created. Just remember, we get chapter 8, we're going to get into this. He's going to have a lot to say about this. In most people's mindset, that wisdom was incorporated in Jesus Christ, because he established a lot of that in the very beginning. And named those things.
Jerry, also, wisdom and understanding belongs to God. Mm-hmm. But he's willing to give liberty, a lot of it, if we just go and seek it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look for it and you have to dig for it in order to obtain it. It's not just going to fall in your lap. But it's so much worth to have this. And the more you gain it, the more you understand God's ways.
That's the key. It's common sense. You know, common sense is just basic truths that God has put out there for us to have. Common sense is easy to have. But we have so many people that they get a little common sense, get into the intellectual level, and then they want to talk down to you and say, you won't understand this because I'm up here and I've got this. God, Proverbs put this in a way that you'll get the common sense answers. Everything in life, in the way from everything from raising your kid, your relationship with your mom and dad, to your relationship with your neighbor, everything in life is covered in Proverbs and can be covered by common sense, not any great intellectual brain that you might have. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so there will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, and you will walk safely. There's protection here. He said, now you can walk safely. That's also repeated back over in 2:7, safety. About safety. It says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield. In other words, he's a safety. He's a protection for those who walk uprightly. And your foot will not stumble when you lie down, you will not be afraid. How many of us lie down or have in the past? Maybe some still do. And are worried. You know, worried. I don't know whether if y'all live around where there's an oak tree with dropping acorns right there. You want to know something to wake you up to what's that? If it come down in clusters, it's like a shot, you know. And where we are with Linda, they have that aluminum porch. And it's just, when it come down in clusters, like somebody shot right there. Pow! You hear that, Jim? Anyway, he says you're not going to be afraid. You know, it does wake us up, but I'm not afraid of it. I know what, once I realize what it was, I know what it was. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Some of us crave sleep more than others, but all of us love to have a sweet sleep, deep sleep. You will not be afraid of terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when he comes. The Lord is going to be your protector. He's going to be the thing that gives you confidence. He's in control and will keep your foot from being caught. There are always snares out there trying to grab you. They're trying to grab you. The Lord will make sure that you step in the right path. You don't step into that trap. He's always going to give us an escape. I think we repeated this before. Always give us a straight. I don't want to go over this. If you've got a question, because this is the whole part of this, this should be a two-way conversation with the Holy Spirit as He puts these words out here for us. Now, and I appreciate the comments that are coming back, but unfortunately, throughout Proverbs, it'll probably be repeated enough that you'll hear it, and then it'll start registering. Yeah, we heard that before. We talked about it. But if it's not, if it's in the question, there's the time to talk about it. There's wisdom in this room. I mean, a lot of y'all have been in church a long time. You know, there's wisdom in this room. A lot of you have had experiences that I've never had, and I probably have some that you've never had, that you gained from your life, and that would give wisdom to someone else who's about to go through that or has been through that. So be glad to share it. And then when we get toward the end of Proverbs, as we share the things, the experiences, and you will find just about every experience you've had in life covered in Proverbs here. You're going to reflect back on how I wished I'd known. I tell you, openly, I wished I'd gotten into this when I was a kid. Man, I could have saved myself a lot of trouble, you know, and made better decisions than what I would have had.
This part of Proverbs kind of also reminds me of when you trust in the Lord, you can go to sleep without fear. And it reminds me of David.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would go to sound asleep in the, surrounded by his enemies, and he trusted in God to keep him safe.
Keep him safe.
And the same thing we can do. I mean, we run into situations that can bring you fear or anxiety. I've been there to the point where I would be on my knees crying. But once you get into that conversation with the Lord, you can also come out on the other end with this inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
The situation is still there, but you have found that inner peace and that strength that will get you through whatever you are faced with. And he taught me that no matter what, I'll never go through difficult situations ever again by myself, because I got the Lord on my side.
And that's why when the concept of the Lord comes to our mind, He's an awesome God.
Amen.
And If he's in charge, he'll protect me. He'll get me out of it. But it's something that we all have to grow on. All pray for. Pray for faith. It says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do. Example of this. When you see a neighbor that needs something, and you got it. or you can share what you have with him. Don't hold it back. You know, don't wait to say, well, somebody else will take care of him. If he's still suffering tomorrow, I'll help him.
Jerry, none of our possessions belong to God. They belong to God to begin with.
Amen.
So why hang on to it?
Amen.
Share it.
Yeah, if he's done a favor for you and you have an opportunity to do a favor back, don't hold it back. Say, one of these days I'll get around to it. Do it. Do it. Don't withhold good from those who must do what is in our power of our hands to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it. That's like saying, I'll pay you Saturday. You know, I'll pay you next week. When I get my paycheck, I'll pay you next week. But you got it. You know, if you owe it to him, you got it. But we've all heard the expression, and we probably have said that. Well, I've got $100 in my pocket, but I got things I want to do. I'll do it next week. No, I'll give it to you next week. When you have it, do not devise evil against your neighbor. In other words, don't plot on how you can get something away from him. Or devise ways of that you can take care of him. Or if you think he's done something to you and you're thinking about plotting, oh, I'll get him back. I'll just go over there and feed some bad food to his dog or something. It says, for a neighbor dwells for you for safety's sake. In other words, he's looking to you to watch out for him. He's looking for you to know that his wife, he's out of town driving a truck or something, and his wife is over there by herself. So if you see something suspicious, if you see something that you think is out of place, help him, because he's thinking of ways he can help you. For he dwells for you for safety's sake. I'll tell you, now we need good neighbors. This world's in bad shape. We need people watching out for each other. Back in those days, when he was writing about this, they didn't have neighborhood cops. You know, they didn't have police cars to patrol around. They didn't have anything but each other. And we need each other again. It's going to be pretty soon we're not going to have any more cops. The way they're resigning, it's being run out. This, do not strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. You know, why in the world would you want to pick an argument with someone, or put pressure on someone, or be in contention with someone when you really don't have any? He's not done anything to you. Do not envy the oppressor. He is doing something to you, but he seems to be prosperous doing it. Don't envy him for that. And choose none of his ways. Don't try to get back at him. Don't try to become to another person what he's doing to you. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. Don't ever want to be considered an abomination to God.
That's a strong word.
That's a strong word. That means God detests you. If he detests you, then how in the world is he going to love you if he detests you? But his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. You know, this curse here, if you went back, I don't know if we have time. No, we don't. Zechariah. Curse now is on that house. Sometimes God's curse stays on generations of inhabitants. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit this glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Our reward will be with God. Shame will be the epitaph of those who are very foolish. I trust that some of this will penetrate, and I trust if you stay in Proverbs. Well, I know if you stay in Proverbs, it'll keep become clearer and clearer and clearer as we go along. Thank you all for the class. We're over time already.